Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Right, my family, 39 minutes after one, that is your time. We are excited because we are, you know, I mean, we are right in the middle of May. Oh, wow. By the way, I've just had a light bulb moment. I was going to say we're excited because the Word of God continues to confront us and to help us and to heal us. You know, but I've just realized that it's midweek, it's midday, and it's also mid-month. It is mid-month. Yeah. Very soon we're going to be hearing from very excited people. Yeah, hello to all my friends that get paid on the 15th. Hello to you. I love you. You are wonderful people. Yeah, my family. Anyway, so look, we are crossing over now to conversation. Nomsa Mozondi is Senior Manager of Communication and Media out at the Information Regulator. And she's here to chat to us a little bit more about the regulator. Nomsa, good afternoon, ma'am, and thank you so much for giving us your time.
Good afternoon, Ayanda, and good afternoon to your listeners. Thank you for having us today.
Yeah, we're excited. We're very excited. I mean, we are in the information age, so you guys are like the center of focus, you know, in everything, literally, in everything. Nomsamo, what's making headlines out in the information space?
Yeah, so as you said, we are like the vanguard of information, the protectors of information in South Africa. And there's a lot going on. There's actually a lot going on in the space in terms of the right to privacy and also the right of access to information. Some of the issues that we have been currently grappling a lot with is the issue of direct marketing and the total disregard for the use or correct use of personal information of data subjects who is the owners of the personal information, which could be you and I, Ayanda. So that is one of the challenges that we are experiencing in that, in terms of the right to privacy or the protection of personal information. But also another burning issue is the issue of the high or growing rate of security compromises, which are data breaches, and thereof when people have access to people's personal information, which they use maliciously or actually use it unlawfully and cause harm to many, many South Africans. So those are some of the things that are in the space that the regulator is actually working on currently.
Sure, that is I'm so glad you guys are busy with them. Particularly that marketing thing. I'm so happy to know that you're actually busy with that because, wow, you know, Nomsamo, before we even get into those issues, I think it's going to be sufficient, you know, it's areas that directly affect the consumer. And I know that I'm saying it lightheartedly, but I'm really happy that the regulator is on top of those two matters, because I think as consumers, you just get to a point where you feel absolutely helpless. Let's take two steps back and just understand the regulator. Let's understand your mandate and your powers, Nomsam.
All right, so basically the information regulator, like you've already said, we are that go-to girl when your rights to information have been violated. So we are a vanguard, you know, the protectors of the constitutional rights, which are the right to privacy, as well as the right of access to information. These two rights are contained in the Constitution in Section 12 and Section 32. So as an institution, we were established in 2016, which is led by the Chairperson Advocate Dragula and four members or commissioners. And administratively, we are led by Mr. Musala, who is the CEO with a team of executives. So, which makes us about 7 years old. We are a fairly new institution, if you can say so. We are like in grade one, basically, if I use the analogy of a child going to school. Yeah, so the regulator was established in terms of the Protection of Personal Information Act, Section 39, which makes us a constitutional body, but also we have recently been scheduled as a national public entity. But if your right to privacy or your right of access to information has been violated, we are the institution that you go to, and as some people call us, the watchdog. So our mandate, right, we actually have a dual mandate. Most people know us as the regulator, information regulator, for POPIA, which is the Protection of Personal Information Act.
Absolutely.
But what people don't know is that we're also a regulator for PAIA, which is the promotion of access to information. So our main function is to monitor and enforce compliance with these two pieces of legislation, POPIA and PAIA. Compliance in terms of the public and private bodies who need to comply, obviously, with these legislations. We also investigate complaints that are lodged by the members of the public on the violation of their privacy and the violation of them accessing information. But I think what is important is also that we have a very great responsibility to educate the public and raise awareness on these legislation, obviously with the aim to empower them to assert their rights and exercise their rights to privacy and access to information. So in just a nutshell, that is what the regulator is, why it exists and what is its mandate.
Amazing, amazing. Nomzamo, thank you so much for that history. I think it's very interesting for me to note that a lot of the times we want our regulators to regulate the areas that are most important to us as consumers. You know, it's important for me to know that I can claim for my information not to be distributed without my permission. It's not necessarily in my interest as a consumer, you know, to know that when I give my information, as a regulator, you have the right to encourage certain institutions to send out my information. You know what I mean? You know, I think as consumers, we tend to be very one-sided in terms of what we want done with our information. Thank you for that. For that background. Let me just also understand: is the regulator open to direct customer interaction?
No, absolutely. We are a public institution and we have to be very accessible to the members of the public. I would say right now that unfortunately we do not have a presence or a footprint at provincial levels, like in each province. We're currently based in Bloemfontein in Johannesburg, and that's where our headquarters are. But we have made means for the public to be able to access us through telephone lines, but most importantly, creating a toll-free line so that members of public necessarily need to have airtime to contact us so that they still can contact us through our toll-free number. But we also do have many outreach programs where we crisscross the country to just create awareness and educate the public and create that accessibility to us. So within a year, every month, we visit various parts of the country where we have public awareness activities, we have community engagement, we conduct training, have stakeholder sessions. So that's the method of how we try to extend our accessibility. But also at our offices in Johannesburg, we do have a walk-in where members of the public are welcome at any time during our office hours to get assistance, whether to lodge a complaint or make inquiries in terms of the work that we do. So we are accessible to that extent, but obviously in the long term, it is the regulator's vision to have presence at least in each province, so that we have accessibility to that point.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And I think, you know, whenever there's a central point of contact for an institution like an information regulator, that's really comforting to us as the public because, you know, Nomzamo, I mean, you deal with information, data, and you know how difficult it is, you know, to try and navigate your way around an institution that is supposed to look after information or any other, I suppose, regulator. Later here in South Africa. So it's very comforting to know that your offices are open for walk-in customers. Nomzamo, how does the regulator manage the tension between access to information, providing or presiding over the, you know, access to information versus presiding over the right to privacy of information? How do you, because I'm sure there's a tension there. There's no ways there's no tension. How do you manage that?
I don't want to say there's tension or make it sound like it's strenuous, but of course it is difficult, but it is doable. The balance of your information right is very much doable, and which is what we preach to public and private bodies, that they need to start identifying risks of information sharing or information accessibility, and put in place measures of how do they obviously balance these rights. So as a regulator, we are responsible to balance this right of access to information with the right to privacy and the protection of that personal information. I often make a practical example of when someone is in a process, in a recruitment process. Let's say, Ayanda, you and I get invited by an institution for an interview, right, for a position in that organization. And you Ayanda, become successful, right? You get appointed by this institution. And I don't get appointed, obviously, because you took the position or they gave you the position. However, I may be disgruntled by this because I was very sure that I would probably be a successful candidate. So then I make a request to this institution to say, I would like to access the records or I'd like to access the outcomes of the interview, right? Because I have the right to access that information, and I want to know why did I get the appointment. Now, generally, in those records, there will be your information, Ayanda, who was now, and other people who were made part of the recruitment. So the responsibility now of the organization here is that, one, they must obviously allow me to exercise my right of access to information, and also, they have a responsibility to then protect your privacy, which is protecting your personal information. So a very practical sense is that they can give me the right to access that information, but in order for them to balance the act of right to privacy and protecting your personal information, they'd have to redact your personal information. Then you have Ayanda, who got the job, she's from Gai, this is her contact detail. So you see, that is now a practical example of balancing the right of access to information, but still also the right to privacy and protecting your personal information. So that's just a practical example in a scenario where both these laws have to come to play.
Yeah, that's actually an exciting example. I think maybe if we do a part two, which I'm hoping we will, Nomzamo, you and I, of this conversation.
I have so much power.
I'm telling you, look, there's so much to learn from, you know. I think a part two, if we could maybe just look at a scenario where there's litigation, it can't be that easy. For example, in a divorce proceeding, you know what I mean? Where information must be shared, but now there are tensions, there's litigation in place. And the parties don't necessarily want their information tampered with, you know? So the part about the employment and et cetera, first of all, thank you. Very insightful. I don't think a lot of us knew that we could actually access. It's our right to know how the interview, worked out, et cetera. That's helpful. Let's maybe deal with the situation where there's litigation and tensions another time. Let's then come back, Nomzamo, and understand the kind of work that you're busy with regards to access to protection of personal information. I mean, what are we going to do with marketers? Okay, sorry. I know there's a lot of marketers listening right now. We love you, marketers, but we don't like it when you call us at random times looking for all sorts of things. How do we deal with that?
So here's the thing, Ayanda, and I want to state this so that even your listeners who are responsible parties, public or private bodies, that process personal information, POPIA is not there to actually stop their business. It's not there to do that. POPIA simply says that you collect information, but you collect it lawfully. That's basically what it says, and it has 8 conditions that you need to adhere to as a responsible party, a public or private body. So with the issue of direct marketing, which is Section 69 of POPIA, it gives clarity in terms of what needs to happen when you embark on direct marketing. So the simplest indicator is that when you are wanting to market to a person, you need to have obtained consent from them, right? Get permission from Ayanda that I would like to sell you this product or I'd like to offer you this service. Now, if you are a customer of X company, you're already an existing client, they can contact you. However, they need to give you an option to say, no, I do not want to get information or communication from you on any other services, right? So now how do they obtain this consent might be the question. Obviously, there are prescribed forms of how to get consent as well from data subjects, but the one that is most thorny right now is that when somebody calls you, how does POPIA protect me? POPIA says that, or Section 69 of POPIA says that when somebody calls you, the Act allows them actually to call you, but they're only allowed to call you once. And in that instance, that first time they call you, it's not to already market to you. It's to obtain consent to market to you. I don't know if I'm creating clarity. So they can contact you, but only to get consent. And if they say no and you don't consent, they should never contact you, whether email you or call you or send you SMSs about products and services that they have. So if they do continue to do that, then it's a violation of POPIA. So often people, the members of the public, you'd find that they would block the numbers or ignore the call. But that doesn't exist, because when you block the numbers, they'll call you with another number. So what we often do, put a call out to the members of the public, is then answer the call, ascertain or get information of who this is, what company is this that is violating your rights to privacy. Then you are able to lodge a complaint with the regulator, because we're all complaining about it, that we're getting these calls, but we are unable to enforce on some institutions because we don't know. And we can enforce and also investigate if we do get complaints from the members of the public. Then we can go to XYZ company and then we enforce POPIA on them. Mm-hmm. So it's very important that you do lodge a complaint, you do ask them to remove you from their database, and if they don't, obviously the information regulator will intervene after you have lodged that complaint. It is a great concern of ours. We are in the process of issuing a guidance note for that sector to understand and follow certain prerequisites in terms of implementing direct marketing for their organization.
Yeah, Nomzamo, you see, the thing is, for me, it is both relieving and upsetting, you know, that the POPIA Act is, in fact, the one giving marketing, direct marketing, its space to market. I'm a business person. I cannot not know that no act should limit or prohibit any business from doing their business. But because we are dealing specifically with the issue of info, and not just any information, personal information, which means at any given point, the fact that Section 16, and I'm looking at it right now and I'm just going through it as you're speaking, you know, direct marketing by means of unsolicited electronic communications, it means that I could be in hospital and a marketer is being given space and an open door by Section 69 to call me to request the permission to actually market to me. You know what I mean? How then does this particular section help in terms of the protection of personal information?
So as much as the Act does allow for a call for you to be called once, but another aspect is that you have to have given consent to be called. Yeah. And right now, you could say, I understand that, but where did you even get my number to start off with? Mm. And that is what the regulator is actually dealing greatly with, the issue of data brokering and the sale of data, because that is totally against the law in terms of obtaining information or data through sale or even from another person. So it is something that is a challenge currently, and we are working even with the likes of your National Credit Regulator and National Consumer Commission to deal with such issues, because it is the businesses who are the ones who are infringing aspects of the act. So Section 69 is clear. You must give consent. If you do not want to be contacted, you must stop. But the challenge is that they keep calling you. That insurance company won't leave you until you've given them an opportunity to get a quotation or even take their service, which is not what Section 69 suggests.
No, absolutely. Nomsama, all I'm saying is that can you and I look at Section 69 and agree that permission to contact a Ayanda who is genuinely not interested in hair products, you understand? Permission, you know, is the open door, because then, it's easy for you and I to work this thing out. There's many ways to work around that. You know, I can open 5 companies, right? So the first company calls, the same person has this access to information. So all 5 companies can call the same person and they're owned by the same person. You know what I mean? So that's the first thing. Yeah. And exactly as you're saying, data brokerage, that particular market, as dark as it is being given its wings, Nomzamo, by the fact that there is still an act somewhere that is allowing marketers access to consumers for whatever reason. We understand what I'm trying to say. And so if we're dealing with the protection of personal information, to what extent then really is our information protected? Really? And as you're saying, that Competition Commission, Consumer, all of those commissions can help, but we have a structural problem looking at us in the face, and it's in Section 69.
So as I indicated as well, Ayanda, is that we are actually working with the various other regulatory bodies, because some of the challenges that we experience require an integrated approach with other regulators as well. But more so, as I indicated, that we are working on a guidance note as well to close some of the gaps that have maybe in the interpretation of the law, because they were asking from some direct marketers who are saying that their telephone call doesn't constitute to unsolicited. So that's why we are in the process of developing that, which will close some of these gaps that maybe could be loopholes for people to take advantage of such.
That is fantastic.
Over and above Section 69, there are conditions, 8 conditions, which talk about issues of consent and minimality, etc., which responsible parties still have to adhere to. Section 69 is but one section in the Act to protect you against the use or unlawful use of your personal information. It has to be also done against other conditions of local processing of personal information.
And I mean, you know, Nomzamo, look, first of all, thank you. It's comforting to know that, you know, it's at least the regulator, is working tirelessly to ensure that this is the permissiveness, so to speak, and I don't have a better word to describe it, that particular element of this section or any other section in the Act, you know, is being dealt with to close every loophole, you know. And look, in 3 years' time, you and I are going to be having a different conversation, Nomzamo. We'll be looking at this and saying, yay, in 2024, we were struggling because there were loopholes all over.
You
understand? In 3 years' time, we'll be having a different conversation because, marketers will understand the scope, you know, of their work and how not to cross boundaries, because we must agree. And we've had a conversation offline, looking also at the issue of illiteracy. You know what I mean? Nomzamo, know how many people have gotten themselves into contracts because of illiteracy, because people have access to them. You know what I mean? You know, but anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So
that's part for me.
I love that. The literacy element is part three. No, that's fantastic. So we've touched on the issue of data breaching. And I think, look, let's maybe focus on that when we have our part two of this conversation. In the meantime, I really want to thank you for coming on board. As spicy and as sometimes, you know, rough as these conversations may be, they're very helpful to the consumer. And the thing of access to information, Nomzamo, I think you and I are equally passionate about that, that people must be informed, you know, let people not act out of their own accord, but not because they don't know what to do with the kind of issues that they face on a daily basis. So again, just those contact details, and we really appreciate you for your time.
Thank you so much. So we can be reached on our call free number, which is 0800-17160. We do, or let me repeat it, 0800-17160. We do also invite people to send us inquiries on our inquiries at inforegulator.org.za. So we do have multiple social media platforms that we constantly update and break down some of the legalese of the of our mandate, so to bring understanding as well to the members of the public. So we would encourage them also to follow us on X, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. So we try to share and break down the legalese so that they understand how to exercise these rights.
No, I must also say it's very comforting to hear a young voice, you know, that is speaking on behalf of any regulator for that matter. You know what I mean?
Thank you, Ayanda.
No, I'm being serious. It's absolutely very comforting. That's progress, Nomzamo. That's absolute progress. Thank you so much for your time. We certainly will keep in touch and see if we can actually get you back for part two, yeah?
Thank you for the invite. Thank you.
My family, Nomzamo Zondi, she is Senior Manager Communication and Media at the Information Regulator. So, yeah, there we go. Your regulator of information. Get to know them. Get to know how they can be helpful to you. It's 2:06. My family, your community news are coming up next. We are trying to get hold of South African. I'll tell you now, we are trying to get hold of the systems are just slow. South African Wildlife Rehabilitation Center on the other side of the news, just to try and see if we can actually chat to them about that that kudu that is on the loose in the Centurion and Mnandi area. Let's see if we can actually get that, make that happen at this time. Let's cross over to your good news.
From our hearts to yours, Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Radio Pulpit's Facebook page makes you more a part of the station than ever before. Now you can give your opinion regarding our programs or even contact your favorite presenter. You can get the latest news and existing programs and communicate with other listeners. Come on, let your fingers do the talking on Radio Pulpit's Facebook page. It's interactive and dynamic. Just visit facebook.com/Radio Pulpit.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, a companion for those who need encouragement. Listen to us on our app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.